from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry, and we have a special guest all the way from somewhere on the other side of Central Florida.
Yes, he. After last week's mishap with his internet, he's finally graced us with his presence. You know him on Twitter as Travel by Doom, Mr. Joseph Machado. Hello, sir.
Hey, Clint. How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. So glad you're able to join us tonight in this action-packed episode of the Thrill Geek Podcast we got tonight.
Yeah, tonight's episode is brought to you by Machado Family Farms. Come for the Machado, stay for the farms.
What's the website? You might as well go ahead and plug the website.
It's www.machadofarm.com.
There you go. So, all right, we got lots to dive into here. So we're going to go ahead and start off with probably my favorite theme park news of
what?
The week.
What?
Yep.
I'm shocked.
It's a cardboard sign, but guess what? It got me hyped. We got some news, some stuff to discuss. But Disney announced today that for some unknown reason they randomly plopped a Tron Light Cycle Power Run sign right outside the Fantasyland train station at the Magic Kingdom. And they also announced some closures. Barry, do you want to kind of dive into those?
Yeah, I mean, we sort of knew these were coming based on the concept art we've seen and some of the permits that have been filed. But Tomorrowland Speedway will close for a portion of 2019 because they're going to adjust the track there. It's going to change the way the track runs in that area. And it's supposed to open sometime later in 2019, and then the big closure is the Walt Disney World Railroad will close sometime in December of this year, and basically they'll keep one of the engines at the Main Street station, and you'll be able to get an up close look at the trains and also take advantage of one of a kind photo opportunities, which I don't know if they've done that here before. I know when Disneyland shut their railroad down for construction for Star Wars Land, they had the trains out for people to line up and take photos with. So
yeah, I couldn't remember. I was when they announced it. I was trying to think if they had ever closed it down here before, and
They've closed it down for I think like track work, if I remember correctly.
Just for regular maintenance.
For regular like refurbishments, it'll shut down. But this, I mean, they sort of didn't give an. I have a feeling this is going to be an extended shutdown. So,
I had some people. Saying that this could be a really long downtime for the train, because if you think about it, with Tron, if they stick to the concept artwork, the coaster is actually going to go over the train tracks.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to shut down until they get to the point of that they're done with the construction over the train tracks, and I'm imagining. I've heard from some people, probably most of 2019, that the train may down and may be down into part of 2020. So,
yeah, so
which that's a long time. And
so. the train's a pretty big from a capacity standpoint. It gobbles up a lot of people too.
Yeah, no, it's a major, I mean, it's how some people, I know we don't use it as much because, we're locals, but that's a lot of people use it to get around the parks. It's always a fun thing to do.
It's the Walt Disney World Railroad. I mean, who doesn't love to take a spin on it? I mean, occasionally I will. That's pretty much all we got. As far as that, we got a new sign and we got, some closures. It's happening.
Yeah, it's coming.
Slowly but surely. So, Joe, are you excited about Tron? I don't I don't hear much from you on Twitter about Tron.
I mean, I'm definitely excited for it. I really enjoyed the films. I thought the coaster footage from Shanghai was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not quite as hyped as you are. I don't think anyone is. But I'm really excited to see it. I guess I'm kind of still in shock that it's happening. Because I know we all wanted it to happen for so long, and I'm almost like in disbelief. But it is starting to get real, and Magic Kingdom has always kind of been not a must do for me at this point, but putting Tron in there, that's going to be a game changer for me at least.
Yeah,
I mean that, and it's the first real addition to Magic Kingdom since Splash Mountain. Everything has always been addition and subtraction.
True,
and this is the first real addition, and which is much needed. That park needs more capacity. Unfortunately, the Main Street Theater thing has been canceled for the time being. But there's rumors of something else going in possibly before the 50th. But that park needs more capacity, and Tron will give that park more capacity.
Yeah, and I think it'll expand their demographic a little bit too, and start getting some more a little bit of the older generation more interested in that particular park.
Yeah, going back really quick to your shock moment. I was kind of the same way at first when they announced it, because weeks before D23, the rumors of Tron coming were popping up, and I was like, I just don't see it happening. But when they announced it, I was pleasantly surprised. So it's just
and I think too, it's besides adding capacity, they're going to struggle to keep Space Mountain running through the 50th. I mean that track is getting spot welded all the time, and I gotta imagine that sometime after the 50th it's going to have to finally go down for a complete track replacement
for a Disneyland overhaul.
Because anyone who's seen pictures, they pretty much keep a spot welder there all the time now to keep that ride running, and at least having Tron there will give something a little bit extra something there whenever they do, and they will have to eventually do shut down Space Mountain for an extended refurb.
And maybe that's their play with this. This will be a great once this opens up in 2020, well, they say in time for 2021, the 50th, it'll be a good time to put Space Mountain down for a good lengthy overhaul. That's it for Tron. We got what's next here? You did the articles for this, so I'm going to kind of let you dive into it for.
Yeah, I mean, we got it coming up here on August 19th. The Photo Pass Day is back again for Walt Disney World and Disneyland. We're going to basically talk quickly about Walt Disney World. If you want to learn about Disneyland, we do have an article up on the website, but not much with characters this year. It's a lot of magic shots that are going to be in all four parks plus Disney Springs. Some of the more interesting characters definitely is like Epcot is going to have Cruella de Vil in UK. It's always cool when you get to do a villain. Same thing, Epcot is also going to have like Jafar in Morocco.
That's what I was going to ask was, because I quick skimmed over your articles, but I was interested in like the characters, but it seems like from what you were saying, they're not doing a whole lot of characters this year. It's more.
It seems not as many characters this year. It's a lot more of the magic, like special magic shots that I guess a lot of them will only be in props that will only be for that day only. Like in Epcot, there'll be magic shots in all 11 countries of the world showcase. In Future World, there'll be a Baby Groot magic shot. Over at the Magic Kingdom, there'll be a Dole Whip magic shot, which, I mean, I don't exactly know what that's going to be, but,
Look at me holding my Dole Whip.
Yeah. But, we have the article up on the website with all the different magic shots and characters and, for both Walt Disney World and Disneyland. So
I'm surprised. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
It's always a fun thing. I mean, I think we're planning to get there like first thing in the morning at Epcot to do Cruella de Vil, because you don't really get – there's not many opportunities you ever get to like do like a meet and greet and to get your picture taken with her.
That one will be interesting. I'm really kind of disappointed they're not doing the characters as much for this particular day, because I think that's more the draw. I'll be really interested to see how much these magic shots actually attract and how
draw in the crowds.
Yeah, I mean,
with all the wall pictures, maybe we'll.
That's yeah, I mean, there's some cool things like I mean, for at Hollywood Studios, like Sunset Boulevard, you'll be able to do like a shot with a Hollywood Tower Hotel luggage prop. You know, there's some there's some interesting ones, but yeah, I mean, most of the people did this for the characters, and just not as many this year, but you know, they're bringing the Jawas back to the Launch Bay Cantina, which those of you who've been there remember, I think it was about, the first 6 months or so they had Jawas at the Launch Bay when they opened it. But it's something fun, it's something different, you know. It's great for us pass holders to be able to get you know different pictures that we normally aren't able to get. And it's just a fun little thing to do, especially for in August when we sort of have this short break here where nothing's really going on before we dive into food and wine and
before Diet Epcot ends.
Yes, Diet Epcot ends. So.
No, I was shocked that they didn't do more, like Joe was saying, they didn't do more because, you know, the wall photos are this thing, and I'm surprised Disney didn't come up with more more wall photo ideas, like the moss wall and the popsicle wall and all those.
Well, they got plenty of walls, so...
I want more walls.
I think the purple wall has some sort of special magic shot or prop for Photo Pass Day. So,
are they still selling the purple wall slush?
I think so. I don't know. I haven't been in Magic Kingdom in a while. But moving on from Disney, we're going to head over to SeaWorld Busch Gardens. They are both celebrating National Roller Coaster Day, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got Busch Gardens. Actually, they're doing a really cool kind of behind the scenes tour, and I think it already sold out. Unless they've added more days since I last checked. They did it for like they launched it and they did like 3 or 4 days, like this week coming up, I think.
I think they already sold out.
They were, because I looked and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. So I don't know if they're planning on adding more, but yeah, they're behind the scenes tour for it's really cool if you're a fan of roller coasters and want to learn more about them, how they work, how they operate, and you even get the chance to go to the top of the lift hill on Sheikra, which is
pretty
cool.
I think they used to do this tour on more of a regular basis. If I remember correctly, it used to be one they offered more often sometimes. Like a
I
want to
say I remember them doing it.
But
I can't remember.
Yeah, over here at SeaWorld, they're doing a little bit more that on August 17th. They're basically having SeaWorld Thrill Fest night, which, I mean, the park is going to stay open until midnight. And the big thing is you'll be able to experience all the roller coasters at night, which is... always, for me, the best time to ride a roller coaster is at night.
Oh, yeah. Mako is, as I've told everybody on Twitter, Mako at night is amazing. It's a completely different experience at night. And I'm going to try and, Friday, I'm going to try and be there because Cheryl, my wife, she hasn't done it yet at night. So I'm definitely going to try and be there, at least for the nighttime stuff on Friday because, you know, I got a job and I have mouths to feed, so I won't be able to.
What?
Yeah. I know. I have a life besides.
Outrageous.
I know. I'm sorry. And they also, they also have a thing you're gonna be able to sign up for SeaWorld. It's kind of like what Busch Gardens is doing. You're gonna be able to chat with some of the people, that are involved with the roller coasters and stuff at SeaWorld and kind of chat with them, right?
Yeah, they're going to have a tech talk during the day that day. It's going to be limited to 50 guests per tour. That'll be at 1 and 2 p.m. that day, and basically you have to sign up on a first-come, first-served basis at the information and reservation counter. So really, that's going to be anybody who gets there first thing in the morning to get into these coaster talks. You know, that evening, they're going to have an extended happy hour at Sharks Underwater Grill and Flamecraft Bar.
SeaWorld riding that beer stuff.
Yeah. Special ride photo offers, and of course, free beer is still going on through September 2nd.
That's what I was saying. SeaWorld's really, you know, like I said, I think it was the last episode, you know, with their earnings call. I think SeaWorld is really starting to find their niche. They're beginning to realize these beer festivals and extra festivals are working. So, you know, it's really cool that they're doing well. I mean, unfortunately, we had the layoffs announced the day after, but you know, it's all part of their restructuring. But going back to National Roller Coaster Day, it's cool to see the parks getting involved with this and you know, doing some cool little extra things for us coaster nerds.
Yep.
So, and that goes all week, right? I mean, the Busch Gardens thing, they're.
I think it's
Just doing the midnight thing on Friday.
Yeah, yeah. SeaWorld's doing the midnight thing on Friday, August 17th. So,
and then, like I said, Busch Gardens has the tours, but unless they've added more, they're sold out.
Yeah,
I'll check again sometime this week and see if they've added more dates. But right now, it's sold out. So,
but staying at Busch Gardens Tampa, we got some more, well, a lot more information about Hallows Scream this year. You know, it's, you know, people always compare Halloween Horror Nights to Hallows Scream. I always feel like they're two totally distinct events. You know, everything in Hallows Scream is original. They make a bigger deal about, they're in many ways to me, they're much better at scaring people. They sort of pride on being better at scaring, due to the fact they don't have the budget that Halloween Horror Nights has.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bunch of new houses this year and all new scare zones this year.
Now, Joe, you've been to, have you been to Hallows Scream several times? I mean,
I've never been to Hallows Scream, to be honest with you.
I've never been.
But the more and more I hear, I've been going to HHN forever, though. I haven't made it out to Tampa, but it almost sounds to me like Hallows Scream is HHN 10 years ago, or, you know, 12 years ago.
I can see that.
Well, I mean, one of the things, like I said, they pride on being, and as long as I've lived here and I've known people who work Hallows Scream, they pride themselves on scaring people. More, they pulse people through the houses there. They don't just it's not a conga line like it is here. They pulse people through the houses there.
That's awesome.
They
have the ability to do so. I mean,
you know, I mean, and it's, especially if you buy your ticket in advance, it's a pretty good deal.
Their VIP tours and stuff are like just phenomenal deals.
Yeah, I mean their front of line passes are only $35.
Ouch.
You know, and then they have you know, different packages too. So I haven't been, you know, our plan is to go opening night this year and cover it for everybody, but
they had that deal for $25 for the first couple weeks, didn't they?
Yeah. Which, and then the regular starting price for advance tickets is $39.99.
Yeah.
So, man. I mean, and you're getting a lot. I mean, and this year we're getting multiple, you know, new houses. There's Insomnia, which will lead you through in a haunted asylum. Oh. There's Simon Slaughterhouse, which is rated as an intense experience suggested for 17 and older guests.
I'm wondering, I saw that, and I'm wondering if it's like, remember when me and you went to Screamageddon?
Mm-hmm.
And they have the one where you put the glow band around your neck, and that means the actors can like physically grab you and like throw you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's gonna be like that. It just seems like it's gonna be
like more gory,
really
or
gross. Because I mean, it talks about, you know, going through a horrifying realm, which requires you to go through a journey through a meat market where cannibalistic creatures feast on the weak as they add to their monster menu of human hors d'oeuvres. So it sounds like it's gonna be pretty gross.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like body collectors.
And some of their scare zones, I mean, and that's one of the things I think are really different than Halloween Horror Nights. Their scare zones, they are really good at hiding people in their scare zones.
Yeah.
Because they keep the low-level lights at a lot lower level in their scare zones, and they use a lot of the people in the, like, basically disguised as a bush, you know, that you cannot see, and they come out of nowhere. They still have people doing sliders where they're on the sliding pads that'll pop out of nowhere.
Are those the things that, like, spark or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
those
make
are
that
awesome.
Loud, yeah. Loud noise, yeah. But you got all kinds of new scare zones from Camp DOA, which is a deadly campground, to what I think is pretty cool, Dia de los Muertos, a Day of the Dead scare zone.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw that.
Like
one.
like a parade or something. I don't know if it, I guess that'll have some scary stuff. But that sounds like it, theme wise, it should be pretty cool. So, you know, a lot, and, you know, they have some of the returning, more popular returning houses, like, was it Deadwater Bayou, which is, I've been through that house a couple times over the years, and it's a pretty amazing house.
Yeah, and, Brian's in the chat right now, and, you know, we haven't really talked about, you know, Hollow Scream goes on at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg also, and, I think they tend to keep, the event's similar to down here.
Yeah, theirs is a little bit different than ours is.
So maybe we can, like I said, we really haven't touched on Hollow Scream in the podcast. So maybe on one of the next episodes we can dive into what Williamsburg is offering this year.
Yeah, I mean, theirs is a little different because it's sort of, it's, if I remember correctly, it's included with your admission.
Yeah, it's not a separately ticketed thing.
Yeah, and there's a mixture of more scary stuff and less scary stuff. You know,
Joe, were going to say something earlier about the scare zones. What were you going to say about that?
I just think it's really everything you guys are saying really just reminds me of when I first went to Horror Nights a while ago, back when it was in Iowa.
Yeah.
It just sounds really, really awesome that they're doing all that, because honestly, that's what I started to miss from Horror Nights here.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, no, it's, I could see that, because, you know, I've been going to Halloween Horror Nights since number 4, when the Crypt Keeper was the icon.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Horror Nights is just become huge, and it's, yeah. We are pretty lucky that we get to experience this thing, because there's really nobody else that does anything as big as they do the one here in Orlando now.
No.
I mean, you have Hollywood's, which is okay from what, you know, people I know who've been to it. And obviously that you have the originator, Not Scary Farm, out in California, but yeah. none of them have the scale or the budget or the size that Halloween Horror Nights has.
Yeah.
I want to see what that WB thing ends up being like, not to go too far off topic here.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's going to be cool.
The Horror Made Here thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to wrap up Hollow Scream, it does kick off September 21st, and advance tickets start at $39.99. There's Front of Line Fear available each night for $35, and we will be there for opening night. So remember to check us out. We will be reporting from the event opening night, September 21st.
A couple days before my birthday. Yay!
Yay. A couple of days before I get married.
Oh yeah, all sorts of exciting stuff. So
yeah.
All right. Speaking of Halloween Horror Nights, we had a double whammy this week. Which, like I said on Twitter, I couldn't remember the last time they announced they had two announcements back to back.
I'm almost surprised. I guess we didn't get a triple whammy, because I'm assuming the first announcement had already been planned, and. Because the first one was what Seeds of Extinction was announced. Yeah. Another original house. This just for Universal Orlando. And another interesting concept this year. They really have, I think, original-wise, they're really coming up with some interesting concepts this year.
Which one are we talking about here first? Poltergeist or Seeds of Extinction?
No, Seeds of Extinction. Since I said Seeds of Extinction, we're talking about Seeds.
I just need to know what to change the slide to.
Okay. You know, I mean, the theme of the house is a meteor has struck Earth. It's made all humans extinct, and now plant growth has taken over the Earth, and apparently monster plants have taken over the Earth, and You know, I wonder what the rest of the storyline is. So why, who are we going through this dead, you know, this dead earth? Are we like supposed to be like,
I'm human? A survivor.
Yeah. Humans that survived, humans that survived in space and are landing back on Earth to go through it.
We're cockroaches. Yeah. We survived the explosion. I don't know.
We were all in the vaults.
Yeah. We were all in our zombie apocalypse vaults and
I mean, this definitely does sound interesting because to me, I imagine this might be a very claustrophobic maze. And if we're talking plant life and vines and stuff, you may not know where the scares are coming from.
Yeah, I've always been a huge fan of the, you know, the camouflage. Whenever I get scared at Halloween Horror Nights, it's usually from good camouflaging. So this house being, like you said, plants and leaves and foliage, I'm really interested to see where they go with this aside from the typical ghillie suit jumper.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's immediately what I thought of was, you know, I hope this house isn't just a bunch of ghillie suit jumpers jumping out at you, which I'm not saying it's going to be. I'm pretty sure they have some pretty creative ideas, but like you said about the whole being enclosed, I would love to see a house to where this is kind of like I'm gonna have a brain fart here. The Tomb one last year that was really good, or the
Scarecrow.
Yeah. Thank you. I would love this to go along the lines of that feel. Just basically cover the walls and vines and stuff, and I'd be happy.
I think this house has a lot of potential for some really cool scares. I kind of hope in this house they bring back some of the stilt stuff and even some of the people overhead. I think with this you could do some really awesome distractions and really not knowing anything where it's going.
That's the other thing I said, you know, because they've really... at least within the last few years, Horror Nights has really dabbled in the whole scares from up above thing. So I had all sorts of ideas. You know me. I used to build a haunted house here in my neighborhood. So when Horror Nights announced something, all these ideas are going through my head of what could be inside the house, and I just had so many cool things running through my head with this house. I'm really excited to see where they go with it with the whole. The whole vine thing and it's a really unique idea. I like it. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And then the other announcement we turn around and get is Poltergeist.
Which
falls right in with the overall sort of 80s theme that we're getting this year with Halloween Horror Nights.
I'm guessing it's like with the non-IPs. I mean, even the non-IPs were getting some 80s theme.
Yeah, I mean, and this one's going to be at Orlando and Hollywood. You know, this is one, I think Mike Aiello posted on Twitter that this is like one of their white whales. This is one they've been going after for years.
That they've been trying to get to do?
They've been trying to get to do for years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of potential in this house. I mean, for many people, this was their first horror film because it was rated PG, it was probably one of the most hardcore PG films for its time. It actually got rated R before they appealed it and got it down to a PG.
Was it really rated PG?
Yeah, it's rated PG.
I did not know this.
Which is pretty, for some of the stuff that's in that movie, it is sort of shocking that, it would definitely be rated PG-13 now, so.
Yeah, because that was before PG-13 was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely one of the movies, along with like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, that was sort of cited as the reason to when they finally did create PG-13 that it was movies like that, this one and Temple of Doom that were sort of cited as some of the reasons why they felt they should create PG-13, but I remember there was a lot of stuff in that movie that creeped me out as a kid. There's a lot of potential for a pretty impressive maze.
The clown, please bring the clown.
Yeah, I mean, the creepy clown, I mean, the, you know, obviously different stuff with the TVs, you know, the pool filled with corpses, the scene where he's shaving and his face starts falling off. I mean, just, there's so many, like,
yeah,
you know, the furniture floating. There's so many crazy things that can be set pieces for this house.
I think audio will play a big part in this house too, because of the whole TV thing with the static sound and everything.
The static, yeah.
Yeah. When I saw this, when they announced the Poltergeist house, a lot of the ideas that were going through my head were audio, you know. I think they'll utilize not just your visual senses in this house, but you know Horror Nights, they like to play with your ears as well. And I think this house will be a perfect one to really mess with your head, as far as, you know, special sounds go and stuff. So,
oh yeah.
No, I'm excited. I mean, I've never seen I was shocked, like I said on Twitter, by the amount of people that hadn't seen the
original,
that had not seen the original Poltergeist. And I haven't seen the remake. I completely forgot they did a remake, because I had people replying.
Yeah, well, I don't recall it doing that great.
I don't think it did, which is why I completely forgot it existed. But I had people messaging me on Twitter like, "Hey, didn't you see the remake?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, there was a remake."
What's crazy with the original was, you know, this and Poltergeist and E.T. were released in the same summer, 2 weeks apart.
Yeah.
And which is just crazy to think about. I mean, of course, both of them turned out to be, you know, very successful. I imagine it took them a while to finally convince Steven Spielberg to sign off on this.
Yeah.
So
this is another film that I would imagine is one of his, like E.T. is one of his babies.
Oh yeah. I mean this is definitely he's come out, and Mike Aiello's definitely come out and said that this is one they've been wanting for a long time.
Yeah.
I
just hope, you know, it got better as the year went on. But Exorcist just didn't do much for me.
I love
Exorcist as a movie.
But you know, at least this has, compared to Exorcist, this has different set pieces. Some people were saying, "Oh, this is a sort of repetitive." It's like, not really. There's a lot of different set pieces you have in this movie that can easily take up different rooms in this house. So
yeah.
I don't think that's going to be an issue. I mean, here we are. I mean, we got what, three houses left to be announced, if I'm correct.
Correct.
Everything that's been announced so far, it all sounds like solid stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, there hasn't been one announcement yet where we're like, I don't know about that. Everything, at least concept wise, sounds very solid so far.
Joe, what are you most excited about this year with all these insane announcements we've gotten?
I'm actually really excited for all the originals.
Yeah.
I've kind of grown tired with a lot of the IPs, although I am really excited for Poltergeist, because that was one of the first horror movies I remember seeing.
Yeah.
So that holds up. But these originals just sound phenomenal.
Yeah.
I agree. So beyond excited for them. I think it definitely has me wanting to go to HHN a lot more this year than I have in the past. Past couple of years have only been, I think, like one or two nights. I think I might try to really do a lot more this year.
Yeah, I mean, all the originals they've announced so far sound really cool, great concepts, and it seems like some of them, they're trying to do something a little bit different, too, with at least some of the things they've hinted so far with the way things are laid out in some of these original houses. So I'm all for them trying, you know, it seems like they're really trying, in all the original houses so far, at least announced this year, they're really trying to swing for the fences. You know, it's because usually every year it seems like there's always one or two original houses where it's like, yeah, that was the one where that got the least amount of planning and thought put into it.
But
so far, at least concept wise, everything they've announced original wise sounds incredibly interesting. So
yeah, we'll see. We got three more announcements to go, so we're getting down to the wire here. But yeah, this week we had two. We had Poltergeist and Seeds of Extinction. So exciting times. I say this every time we talk about Horror Nights, and I can't believe the lineup they've got going this year, like we just said. So I'm beyond excited to get this year rocking and rolling. So anyways.
And then one last thing, I guess, Joe, you've been to the Chicken Guy, which is the new quick service restaurant that opened in Disney Springs next to Planet Hollywood, or I should say below Planet Hollywood. So how was it?
I need a picture for YouTube. This is a missed opportunity. Like, guy.
Fietti.
Yeah, I'm so sad. So we're just going to have to go back to the Thrill Geek logo. Sorry, guys.
Well, I really enjoyed it. And keep in mind, I waited in line in the hot sun for about half an hour after I spent all afternoon in Toy Story Land. So I endured a very hot afternoon, but I was really impressed with it. It's different chicken than you find in a lot of places.
Yeah.
You know, the way it's cooked, it's actually cooked in a pressure fryer. Mm-hmm. So it allows them to cook it really, really fast and get it done and still keep it really juicy.
Is that the same thing as an air fryer?
No. No. This is like, it's like legitimately oil. They just put it in a thing and it pressurizes. It's kind of like an Instapot meets a fryer.
Okay, I got you. Because I've heard those air fryers have become really popular.
Yeah, I haven't used one. I want to get to it. But, I mean, they bred all the chicken there in-house. They brine the chicken, actually, which is a process where they basically soak, marinate it, essentially,
yeah,
for a period of time. And they hand-bred it, and they got it going really well. It really nice production in there. It moves pretty quick. I tried a couple of sauces. The sauces were really solid. And the price point, it's all really, really good. I think me and my wife, we went there, we got a little bit more. We kind of premiumed everything just because we wanted to try a bunch of different things. We spent like $30, and I mean, it was phenomenal, especially for Disney Springs pricing. But we could have easily gotten out there for under $20 for the two of us.
I've looked at the menu, and it seems like, you know, if you want, you know, the tenders, the fries, and a drink, it's like $10-$11, right?
Yeah, I think it's $11.50 or something for,
yeah,
tenders, fries, and a drink.
Yeah,
and you can upgrade the fries to mac and cheese or the loaded fries or anything too, so they give you that flexibility, or you can just kind of go a la carte with whatever you want to get. But it was really good, and I've been to PDQ, and I know a lot of people are kind of comparing it to PDQ, and honestly, I think I prefer Chicken Guy to PDQ.
Yeah. We just got a PDQ here in Hunter's Creek, and we've ate there a couple times, and it's really good. And so I'll have to get out there to Chicken Guy. I want to try their they have like an apple pie or milkshake or something like that with like Cinnamon Toast Crunch or something.
Yeah, we didn't.
That
try
sounds
any of
really
the desserts,
good.
But it did look really good. I saw a couple of people enjoying the milkshakes, and they really liked it.
Yeah, I've heard that it's like apple pie, and then the other one's a mint chocolate. Chocolate one, and a lot, everyone who's tried the mint chocolate one has just like sort of raved about it. Says they can't believe how good it is.
I'll have to try both because I like.
But no, the price points for Disney Springs are amazing. You know, we've always been one who, you know, it'd be nice to finally have another place besides Blaze that's actually worth your money in Disney Springs, and so far it sounds like the Chicken Guy is definitely, you know, a high quality, good price place.
Especially, yeah, for broke dads like me that have three kids that need to feed them. Because like I said, I don't want to go to, you know, when I go to Disney Springs, I have to feed three kids, and I don't want to spend, you know, $60, $70 on a meal.
Yeah.
So
you're lucky with the kids. You get all those different meals. You get all the different sauces too.
Did you experience the sauce slinger?
I did. The sauce slinger was awesome.
Was that an awesome experience?
It was cool. It was really neat. He shared a couple of his favorite sauces, and we got to try a couple other sauces. I think we tried it was some sriracha barbecue.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was really good. I had the sriracha the Nashville hot is really good too.
There's
Nashville
like
honey hot.
There's like what, like 20 something sauces or something?
Yeah, there's like 22 sauces, so it's something that it has me wanting to go back to try some of the other ones. Because I mean, out of all the sauces I tried, and I'm a pretty picky person.
Yeah,
but it wasn't one that I didn't like.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that they have that large sauce selection. Yeah, because I think PDQ is somewhere around, I think, 12, 15 sauces. But, I mean, it sounds like a great addition, and I'm definitely looking forward to trying it in the future.
Yeah, really? I'll have to muster up the – because, you know, I have kids, like I said, and they love chicken. So I want to go out there with my kids and check it out. I just, you know, it's a lot to drag three kids to Disney Springs. So we'll get out there, though.
One thing I will say, and I employ to the chicken guy gods, make a loaded mac and cheese.
Loaded mac.
I've been preaching this. Yes, they got mac and cheese as one of their sides.
I was going to say, do they have like?
Yeah, I've heard that's the one thing that a lot of people like felt was weak was the mac and cheese.
But I think it's weak, but I don't think it's weak because it's bad. I think it's just weak because everything else is just like stellar, out of the park, amazing. The mac and cheese is just is solid, but it's just mac and cheese. Everything else has all these different components to it. They just need to, you know, kick it up another notch. Wrong celebrity chef, but same idea.
Yeah. All right, I think that is it for theme park.
Theme park goodies are done.
Yeah, so we're moving on to the pop culture news, and the big news, well, not really big news, I mean, we've known it's been coming, but during Disney's earnings call this week, we learned a little bit more about the streaming service that is, we now know, coming in late 2019.
I don't have the article in front of me, but if you want to kind of run over, that was like a last minute article I posted because there was enough information for me to share on the website. So
I mean, we now know it's coming late 2019. We do know that it's going to stay with, you know, nothing more than like a PG-13 level of content, so no R-rated content will be coming to the Disney branded streaming service. We assume now with the Fox deal going through that any of the R-rated content from like Touchstone and what was it, Hollywood Pictures and obviously the Fox library, that's going to go to probably Hulu.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we already know there's a bunch of original stuff. You know, there's the 10-episode Star Wars series that's coming. You know, there's the final season of The Clone Wars that's coming. There's a Muppet series in development. There's, what, a Monsters, Inc. animated series.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah. I believe it might be Monsters University.
Oh, okay. Now that you say Monsters University, I think I recall that.
The Marvel films will start coming on the Disney service, starting with Captain Marvel next year. So Ant-Man and the Wasp will be the last one that will appear on Netflix. All future Star Wars films will appear on the service. There's a sort of an issue with them getting the older ones because they signed some deal with, I guess, what was it, TBS or TNT?
Yeah, I saw that they were trying to work with them and trying to get the rights back so they
can... Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to have to fork over some cash.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think TBS, like you said, whoever's got those rights aren't just going to say, sure, here you go, Disney.
Yeah, I mean they haven't really said that whether, you know, as far as the Fox content, whether like the family, I would assume probably a lot of the family stuff is going to end up on the Disney streaming service, cuz why wouldn't you put it? If you're going to aim for PG-13 and below, I would imagine you would put all your family stuff on the Disney streaming service, including all the Fox stuff.
I would imagine you know, one question I want to ask Joe, and we discussed about this when I was a guest on the Attractions Magazine Expansion Drive podcast. We talked about the streaming service a little bit, and we talked about what we want to see on the streaming service. And I was going to kind of ask you guys, and I'll start with Joe. What are you most excited about the streaming service, and what do you want to see on it? Like, what are some of the things you're excited about?
I think original content is going to be key, and that's what I'd be kind of looking for. You know, I don't have cable anymore. I think that's a big trend, and I think Disney's kind of trying to capitalize on that by the streaming service. So the original content's really interesting to me. I demand a an Olaf TV series.
Oh, jeez.
But of course you do.
You know, that's my one demand. You know, that'll get me to sign up.
Let's be honest here for a second. Could they do a standalone Olaf show?
I think they could. I think.
Well, the featurette / TV special was so wonderful, but
you know, I actually haven't seen that.
Oh my, really?
Wow!
I know.
Breaking, and it was on free television, by the way.
Breaking news here, folks.
I mean, the thing, the original content is key. I mean, my fingers are crossed that the Star Wars, you know, series is going to be good. I'm hoping that we're getting all of the Disney library. Like, I mean, it's amazing how a lot of the classic Disney stuff, especially the live action stuff, just isn't anywhere anymore.
Song of the South.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I don't see that happening. But
a reboot.
But I mean, there's kids who have no clue about Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah.
Some kids who don't even know Herbie anymore. Yeah,
well,
they
had the Lindsay Lohan movie. We all know.
Yeah,
who that
but
is.
You know. But I'm just saying, I mean, a lot of that classic content, even classic stuff from the Disney Channel, all those there, I mean, there's so many animated shorts. There's all that live action content that, you know, a lot of us grew up seeing because it was on like Wonderful World of Disney It used to be on the Disney Channel. They used to have, you know, was it Walt Disney where they ran the old stuff?
Brian, I quick looked at the YouTube chat here, and Brian reminded me he did an article about the Simpsons, whether they would be leaving to go to the Disney name. You can check out the article on the website.
I expected the Simpsons to stay on. Simpsons, Family Guy, stuff like that to stay on Hulu.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not really, you know. I mean, Simpsons pushes the limit sometimes, but yeah, I don't. Family Guy and Bob's Burgers and stuff like that is going to stay on Hulu.
Sure.
So. But I'm talking like the Blue Sky animated films or the live action family films Fox has made over the years.
Yeah.
You know?
All that stuff come over to the
or a lot of the classic Fox movies.
Yeah.
So
but yeah, that was really it. That was all the during the earnings call we got, you know, a few little tidbits of information about the streaming service, and they're still saying late 2019 it'll be launched. So, and the other thing was pricing. I think Iger actually mentioned that you know, obviously they're going to have a much smaller catalog than Amazon.
Netflix.
So their price point is going to be cheaper than Netflix, which I can't remember. I think the most expensive Netflix is like $14 a month.
Wait, people still pay for Netflix? I thought we all just used somebody else's account.
We just share each other's accounts.
No, I pay for Netflix. I pay for 4K, so...
Baller here. Watch out.
You have to pay extra for it to get the 4K stuff.
I got three kids, Barry. I can't afford 4K Netflix.
I think the initial target is probably, I think, around $7.99 a month.
Yeah.
I'm sure they may offer some deal if you pay, like, for a year, you get a discount, which seems to be, like, a lot of the newer services. That's usually something they're offering out of the gate.
A lot of these.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. Like, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward, you know... Like I said, crossing my fingers that we'll be able to see some of this classic stuff that unless you turn around and bought the DVD or the Blu-ray, this stuff hasn't been on TV in years for the most part. So
yeah, I think that's the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is the original old school, you know, 80, especially like the 80s, 90s stuff being on the streaming service and, you know, them having a platform to be able to post all this stuff on, so...
Yes, I hope you get some of the classic stuff and it's not just, hey, here's all of Even Stevens. So
they better include the movie too.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. But moving on, speaking of Disney, we got a little bit more of a teaser of Wreck-It Ralph 2 and some information about some another actor who's going to be voicing a character in the movie. I'm excited. I've been excited for this movie, especially ever since they dropped that tease of the princess scene, which, I mean, we know some people online who've seen the entire scene and have called it one of the funniest things Disney's ever done. So we got to see a little bit more of the princesses, but the big news is Gal Gadot, or however you want to say her name, will be joining the voice cast, and she'll be playing a character called Shank, who is apparently a driver in a game called Slaughter Race.
Yeah, it was interesting that they, it was like a minute long trailer that they debuted, and you see her character, and, you know, they're doing another racing game in Ralph Breaks the Internet, which is interesting because we haven't really learned a whole lot about the plot of Wreck-It Ralph 2, and if you've seen the trailer, this gives a little bit more into the plot of the movie, so. And then, of course, at the end, we get another. You know, I'm hoping that they don't show too much of this princess scene. Yes, the moments are hilarious, and the new one that we got in this trailer with Merida, you know, and the whole "she's from the other studio" joke.
Yeah.
While it's hilarious, I don't want them to ruin this segment. I'm sure there's going to be tons of hilarious moment just in this, in the princess, wherever she is, this princess fairy tale hall place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hope, you know, they don't really give much more away from that. So,
yeah, but the new scene with Merida and her Scottish accent, you know, she basically explains the movie in a quick few, lines, and, as you saw in the new trailer, she, I forgot who says it. Who says she's from the other studio? Was it Anna? I think it was Anna. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, she, one of the other princesses mentions that she's from the other studio, being Pixar, Merida. And I honestly really didn't think about that until she said it. I was like, that's true. You know, Merida's the only Disney princess from Pixar.
Yeah, they sort of made her into a Disney princess. So.
Yeah, you know, she's kind of like the rebellious princess, but she had her little ceremony at the Magic Kingdom, and she's a Disney princess. So, yeah, this trailer made me, you know, now that we got her in it, and we got a little more snippet from the princess scene with Vanellope. I'm even more excited about it now, so.
And I guess that's it, except for we're finally going to talk. We were supposed to talk about this last week, but we've all seen Christopher Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have our opinions. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, like I said, Joe last week, he wanted to come on and talk about it, but he had internet issues. So I'm going to kind of let him dive into it here. And give his thoughts about it, and then we can kind of dive in and give our thoughts. So, Joe, Christopher Robin, take it away.
So, I actually...
The floor is yours.
Christopher Robin is probably one of the movies I was most hyped for the whole year. I know I'm crazy and weird.
Maybe.
But I just thought, even from the first trailer, it was going to be something really different and really smart, and I wasn't disappointed. I thought the film was... Really
start over.
Smart.
I think we lost you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. You just your first little tidbit there. You were quiet, so I don't know what happened. Sorry.
You're good. So I've actually
they're gonna cut your cable again.
Please don't even joke. So Christopher Robin was actually probably one of the movies I was really most excited for when it first saw it come out. I thought it was gonna be a really smart film. I thought it was gonna be really different. Kind of a different take on the live actions, because I kind of, after Beauty and the Beast, I was kind of getting fed up with the live actions. So when I first heard about, you know, a Winnie the Pooh remake and live action, I was like, oh, really? But then when I saw it, I was really intrigued with what the direction they were going to go with. And I was really happy with it, but I can also see how a lot of people wouldn't be happy with it. because it's different. It almost reminded me of Tomorrowland in the sense that it's not really what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Out of a film, and I think that's why a lot of, you know, you kind of get the mixed reviews from people.
I think, you know, my thing with Christopher Robin was it was such a, like you said, the direction they went in with it was so different, and it was such a breath of fresh air. Again, like you said, with all the other live action reboots, remakes that we've gotten over the last several years with Disney, Christopher Robin was a little more heartfelt. It was a little more down to earth. It was a real good feel good movie, the message behind it and everything, you know.
And I think are we talking, or like, is it spoiler free or what?
Yeah, it's Christopher Robin. What the hell can we spoil about Christopher Robin?
I think it's a good message too. I think especially for what's going on in today's world, you know, having people kind of dial it back and keep those couple things in mind, the work life balance and what's really important. You know, and sometimes it's okay to kind of break tradition a little bit. You know, what they had going on with the daughter story and the boarding school and whatnot. I thought it was just a huge breath of fresh air, and I was really happy with how it turned out. And I saw it 6 o'clock opening Thursday, first night.
And you were telling me before we started recording here, you had some kids running around in your theater.
Yeah, so that's the one thing. It's not a kids movie, but it's not inappropriate. There were definitely some bored kids. I was in one of the nice new fancy theaters that has like the lay down seats and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, but there were definitely some kids running around. There were definitely some kids that were leaving, going in and out of the theater a little bit more. And you could kind of just get the vibe that they were not captivated by it.
I put a little bit more thought into, you know, the comedy of the movie, and a lot of the jokes are not visual jokes, and kids tie into a movie when the jokes are visual for the most part, because, you know, kids aren't listening to the dialogue in a movie.
Yeah.
They just want to see a silly movie. You know, when I went and saw Hotel Transylvania 3 with Jordan, he was, you know, the kids are glued to the screen because it's silly, it's funny. You know, and some of the humor in Christopher Robin, if you weren't paying attention to when Pooh or Eeyore were talking, a lot of their jokes were very subtle dialogue jokes.
Yeah, and they were, you know, you almost had to kind of know a little bit about the history of, you know, Winnie the Pooh too, and already be familiar with it a little bit. And
yeah, no, I mean, you know, the art direction of the, you know, at the beginning when they were going through the pages of the book and everything, that really brought back memories of the, you know, the old Winnie the Pooh days with the animated shows and everything, even the movies. And it was really interesting how they did the whole, how they integrated the Heffalumps and Woozles. I thought that was really, a really neat, way to put that into that sort of film, if you understand what I'm saying.
I thought that was really brilliant too. It's just a smart movie.
Yeah,
that's the way I can think of describing it.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed it. Unfortunately, from what I heard, it didn't do magnificent at the box office.
No.
Yeah, it underperformed a little bit.
Yeah,
it's apparently held up pretty well this second weekend. So, I mean, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. You know, I thought it was a very heartfelt movie with a good message. I thought it was very original, which is one of the issues we've had with some of the Disney live action. This isn't really a remake. This is more of like, sort of like, you know, what happens with Christopher Robin grows up.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, because I there was the first few live action remakes I liked, like Cinderella and Jungle Book, but you know, it still boggles my mind how much money like Beauty and the Beast made, because that entire movie was just a walking train wreck.
Amen, preach.
But and unfortunately, that makes me fear how the next few live action remakes are going to be.
We got Lion King coming up.
Yeah.
That's one
I will say the only good thing I think about The Lion King is they seem to have been smart based on some things that have leaked, and they're actually using songs from the Broadway musical instead of making up new crappy songs like they did with Beauty and the Beast.
Is it true that they're not doing Be Prepared? Didn't that like what? I don't know if that was a leak or something.
They're doing Be Prepared.
I remember somebody talking about that they weren't doing Be Prepared in the live action.
I thought they were, because I know it leaked that they're definitely had that that He Lives in You and Shadowlands from the Broadway musical is going to be in it.
Yeah.
Maybe I just heard that was one of my beefs with Beauty and the Beast, is they came up with some new songs and dropped, you know, instead of putting like two of the more popular songs, original songs from the Broadway musical in the movie, and they came up with new songs that sucked.
Yeah.
So, but no, Christopher Robin, I really enjoyed it. Yes, I cried, but you know, I cry at most emotional movies. So, I love the story. I love the way they did Pooh and Piglet and everybody. Eeyore stole most of the scenes he was in.
And apparently, you can't find those stuffed animals anywhere at the parks. Like they're
apparently you can only find Kanga and Roo. That's about it.
Yeah, so. I've seen pictures on
Twitter. I liked how it was a mixture of CGI and practical, and like animatronic.
Was the other thing is like there was scenes where I was looking at Pooh and I was like, is he CG in this one or is it like the actual puppet? But they did a really good job of mixing that up.
On that note, I want to point something. I want to see if it's bothered anyone else. Did it bother anyone else that everyone but Al and Rabbit were stuffed animals and Al and Rabbit were more portrayed like as
real,
like an actual
real
animal?
Animals? Yeah. I liked
it's interesting.
Al. I liked Owl as a character. I think him and Rabbit, you know how that they always argued in the cartoon and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They portrayed that really well. But you know, I really haven't put a whole lot of thought into.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think if Al and Rabbit were, I don't know, supposed to be more like imaginary friends, or because they weren't really, they didn't really have the stuffed animal look that. Pooh, Tigger, Piglet, Eeyore, and Kanga and Roo had.
Yeah. That's, if anyone can enlighten us, I guess, to
I mean,
why
that
might be.
It may have just been a design choice for the movie. Or maybe to make you wonder, were they real animals or were they just something he made up in his mind? If those two characters were like imaginary friends he made up. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I liked the fact that they came alive and like other people could see that they were actually alive. Yeah.
For what they were, like I said, I liked Owl. I liked the way he was animated, you know, even though they made him look like a real owl. I liked the way he looked. But that's an interesting question because I've never really thought about that as far as why they looked like actual animals and then everybody else was, you know, the stuffed animal look. That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Anybody have the answer to it? Let us know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's it for us this evening, correct?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, definitely, if you have not seen Christopher Robin, go out and see it. It is an excellent film. So.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's a good, like I said, it's a good feel-good movie. The message behind the movie and everything. It kind of... It tugs at your heartstrings. So, all right.
Bring tissues.
Yeah. The lady, speaking of which, really quick, the lady beside me, I thought she was going to, like, hyperventilate from tears. Like, she was watching it with her son or something, and I looked over at her, and she was just sobbing, like, the whole movie. I was like, you gonna be okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie gets, I guess, this movie gets some people's emotions really going, because... The lady next to me, I didn't think she was going to make it out of the theater because she was an emotional mess. So, all right. I think that's it. Like I said, we good? Joe?
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate the company.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. We're going to, you know, I've told myself we're trying to get more guests on, the podcast, so it's just not me and Barry yakking. We need a little more chemistry on this podcast, so definitely have you on again in the future if there's anything. I know you were itching to discuss Christopher Robin, and so thank you for taking your time. Where can people find you on Twitter? And again, like we had you plug at the beginning, give a little information about your farm and everything.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Travel by Doom, I think is what I'm going by right now. I am in Lakeland, Florida. It's about halfway between Orlando and Tampa. We have a small farm. We take care of goats and a bunch of other animals. We take in rescues and whatnot. And we also have a line of candles and soaps that my wife mostly makes. I help and do what she tells me to do.
And they're pretty awesome. He's sent me a couple, and we've used them here at the house. They're pretty awesome products, so.
I gotta send you that Burning Rome soap one of these days.
I know, that was my request, and I need it.
I'll stop by and I'll drop it by one of these days.
Yeah, I want it dropped off in person, like in hand.
I will. Okay, fine. I will. I will go yell at Alexa to go make you a Burning Rome candle, and I will drop it off.
Yeah,
and you have a Twitter handle and a website. We had you plug the website for the farm, right?
Yeah. It's www.machadofarm.com. Machado, at Machado Farm is the Twitter too.
Cool.
All kinds of sales going on. Always free shipping.
I noticed you got your internet back and you fired up the sales pretty quick.
Oh yeah, we had to kind of go radio silent there because I'm like, I can't do anything.
And yeah, then... well, I'm glad you got your internet back and you're rocking and rolling here. So, Barry, what do we have coming up here? We have Aventura opening up this week. I haven't really discussed with you about us getting out there. You know, maybe check out the rooftop bar.
Yeah, we got Aventura opening this week. You know, we got the Thrill Night at SeaWorld on Friday, August 17th, and also the kickoff for the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Yeah.
August 17th, and then of course August 19th is Disney Photo Pass Day. And of course we'll be interested to see if we get another Halloween Horror Nights announcement this week. We're almost 30 days away. We're 32 days away as of this taping of from Halloween Horror Nights.
I don't think we'll get an announcement this week just because of Aventura. That's going to be the big...
Yeah, they might hold it off this week.
Yeah, so we may not get anything Halloween Horror Nights this week, which is fine because we got a double whammy last week. So,
I imagine they'll be dropping the rest of the houses soon.
Yeah, I said, we're getting
either
on the wire.
Them or Publix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we already discussed that one of them's already been leaked.
Yeah.
So,
all right, cool. So we got Aventura, we got the coaster thing at SeaWorld, which I'm going to try and go to Friday evening. Check that out. So, I think that's it.
That's it. Remember, we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/thrillgeek. Please like and follow our Facebook page. We are often live from the parks different times throughout the week. And we are youtube.com/thrillgeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're always getting new videos up of different content, different things. You can check out our video of the H2O. Well, last night was the final H2O Glow Nights party as of this taping. And if you want to see what it was like to pretty much enjoy Typhoon Lagoon at night with no lines, please check out our video. And remember to visit the website, thrillgeek.com, for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And you can click on our website on the podcast page for the latest Thrill Geek podcast. And we're on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast, you can listen to this podcast.
Yeah, and if you're on any of those services that you can leave a review, especially iTunes, be sure to take a few minutes, drop us a review, and it really helps us out. So
yeah, please leave a review.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Joe, again for joining us. Thanks, Barry, and we'll see you guys again next week.
See you in the parks.
See ya.